Thank you so much.
Amen.
Tell you right now, the singing this morning has been on spot on.
Amen.
I tell you what I'd like for us to do this morning. I'd like for you to stand to your feet just for a moment and take your Bible in your hand. And I want us to read that 23rd Psalm together. Now, I realize that when you're reading together and someone's leading, you can get all out of whack. Let's just read it slow. We're not in a hurry, are we? Anybody got to be home before 5? Amen. Let's just read it slow. And I want you just to think about this. This shepherd is our shepherd.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to put yourself right here in this 23rd Psalm. When this man, who was a shepherd now, David, he's a shepherd who understood the shepherd's role. He's a shepherd who understood the sheep's needs. But now he's going from a shepherd to a sheep, and he's writing this from a sheep's perspective, and he's saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I want you to put yourself in this 23rd Psalm and just think about it. Let's read it together slowly. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Amen.
I'm not going to get to this today, but I like the way David ended the psalm. "I'm not turning back, Lord. I'm not." Listen, I know that we can make that "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever" heavenly. But I think David's got the temple in mind here. Not turning back, Lord. Not quitting. You've done too much for me. You've been there. Every situation for me. And I'm going to stick with you. Can you say that this morning? "Lord, I'm sticking with you. Thick and thin. Valleys and mountaintops, good and bad, I'm going to dwell with you, Lord. I'm going to dwell with you forever." Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Well, I have a thought on my heart, and so I want to get to it. I'm not going to review. We'll do that another time. We began last week talking about the verse number 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And here is where the psalm takes a turn. He begins to address the shepherd. Up until this point, he talks about the shepherd. He refers to him as "he" in verse 2. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Verse 3, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." But now it's going to change. And I know that there's a reason for this. David knew whereof he spoke. He knew what this was leading to. He knew about the valley of the shadow of death. He knew this area that we talked about just a little bit a couple of weeks ago, that the shepherd would lead the sheep through. It was literally a passageway that was leading to higher ground, which is where the table is. Or the word here, when you look it up, is the tablelands. It's the word that the songwriter used when he was writing, "Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. This is David. He knew that this was what lied before him. You see, it's oftentimes that in order for you and I to get to the table land, God has got to burn some impurities out of our lives. God has got to get some things out of our lives. He's got to get us off of self and off of sorrow that we might get our eyes on the Savior. And God knows what's best for that. See, if we're not careful, we'll think that it's the trials of life, it's the valleys, it's the tests, it's the hardships, it's the sorrows that grows us, but it's not that at all. It's those that turns us to the shepherd. Notice what happens here. By the way, this is taught throughout the Scripture. It was David that said, listen, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Brother Greg preached a good message on that yesterday in the Glory Days class, and he was talking about how that it's good to be afflicted. Why? So that I would turn towards you, Lord. I would turn towards your precepts, towards your statutes. I would turn towards your word. See, when we're just going through life and we're living life by the green pastures, laying down in the green pastures, led by the still waters, when we're restored and being led in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, if we're not careful, it'll be all about who he is and what he's done instead of who he is to me. And so it gets personal. And he says, now I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to enter into a different level, a different phase of my relationship. I hope you see that. This is what's happening here. The shepherd knows, because David knew what he was speaking of. He knew as he led the sheep. This is the intimacy between shepherd and sheep. And just like the intimacy between the shepherd and the sheep is our intimacy between our Savior and us. And so this is what he said. He said, yea, verse number 4, though I walk. Listen, it's going to happen. Life is not on mountaintops. Life is not all good times, right? Life's not always easy. There's hard places in life. Somebody say amen with me. There's difficulty in life. There's trials in life. We will be afflicted. We will be tested. And he said, though that, you know, when the sheep first starts out, it's all about the green pastures and the still waters. That's right, the paths of righteousness. And we're thinking, man, this is good. There's no trouble in this life. Remember when you first got saved and you thought, man, this is good. There's no trouble in life. But then reality sets in. And you realize, though I'm saved, there's still trouble in life. And you're told, or you read in the Scripture where Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And he said, I'm going to be right there with you. And that is exactly what is happening here. You see, through the valley in verse number 4, the shadow of death, the sheep learned something. He said in verse number 4, I will fear no evil. Doesn't mean there's no evil there. He didn't say, I'll fear no evil because I have claws, a sheep doesn't have them. I have teeth, a sheep doesn't have them. Because I'm fast and quick and I can outrun my predators and my enemies, the sheep's not that way. But notice what he said. He said, though there's fear there in this road, in this route, I will fear no evil, not because I have confidence or trust in me, but because I have confidence that thou art with me. Now, right here's where it changes, brethren. Right here's where the psalm pivots. This is where he begins to speak to the shepherd. Up until this time, he's speaking to other sheep, and he's speaking of the shepherd. But here is where he addresses the shepherd himself, and he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is that? He said, because God, you're with me. And it was in that hard place, it was in that hardship, it was in that trial, it was in that sorrow that God made himself real to me, that the shepherd showed himself to me. And it deepened that communion. It heightened that awareness that God was with me. And now I'm ready to go to the table land. Notice what he said. For thou art with me, thy rod. He's speaking again to him. Thy rod and thy staff. Not his rod and his staff, but God, your rod. It's your staff. It's personal. God, I see now you working in my life. Maybe there's someone here this morning that has said, you know, I just can't see where God is working in my life. It may be that you're not looking in the right place. You see, in the valley, if we're not careful, we'll look at the valley land. We'll look at the predators. When you study sheep, you'll find, and I've read after a few people, Philip Keller and a couple of others that have written about the sheep, and these men were sheep themselves. They were shepherds, I should say, themselves, and they tended sheep. And they said that when there's danger, when there's predators, when there's enemies of the sheep don't look at the enemies. They look at the shepherd. Because they know this right here is my comfort. This is my defense. I have no defense. I'm defenseless. I can do nothing to take care of these predators. And so when there's danger and when there's trouble, the sheep don't look around at the trouble. They get their eyes fixed on the shepherd. They turn toward the shepherd and say, "This is up to you, Lord. I can't do anything." Amen. I wonder where you put your eyes when you're in trouble. Where does the preacher put his eyes when he's going through the valley of the shadow of death? When there's evil presence and when there's enemies sitting by saying, "We're waiting on you to fail. We're waiting on you to mess up. We're waiting on you to slip up. We're waiting on you to fall. We know it's coming. We're going to see how you respond. We're waiting on you to turn back. We're waiting on you to quit. We're enemies, and we're waiting on you to give us something that we can mock you and scoff you and laugh at you about." Where does your eyes go? Do you flex your muscles and say, "Watch me. I'm going to take care of this"? Do you fight back verbally? Do you fight fire with fire and sword with sword and eye for eye and a tooth for a tooth? Or do you look toward the shepherd and say, "Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me"? And then he said this in verse number 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." What a statement, brethren. What a statement. What is David saying here? Here is a shepherd that is speaking as a sheep, and he says, "I know what lies on the other side of the valley of the shadow of death. It is the rich grounds of the tableland. It is the high grounds that my shepherd has gone before me and has prepared for me, so that now that I've got my eyes on him, I can learn life's lessons, that the battle is not mine, the battle is the Lord's. God is going to take care of me. God's going to take care of this." And so he said, though that I'm going to another level in my life, this level that I'm entering into is not without its problems. And I want to talk to you about that. I have three things that I want to say. It's not without its problems. It's not without its provision. You see, the problems are the enemies. Notice the problems in verse number 5. "Thou preparest a table before me." Here's the problem: in the presence of mine enemies. Here's the provision: the table. "Thou preparest," look at it, "a table before me." And then here is the preparations. "Thou preparest." Say, "Preacher, what I got to do to get all that?" What did he say? He said, "God's going to do it." Is that what he said, brethren? "Thou preparest a table." "Well, I've got to set my own table." Well, God will let you set it if that's what you want to do. But it's not going to work out for you. It'll be insufficient. It'll be inadequate. How often have we tried to set our own table? How often have we tried to fight our own battles? How often have we tried to rise up in the energy of the flesh and do what only God, our good shepherd, could do? You see, when you start the psalm as he did in verse number 1 and say, "The Lord is my shepherd," you can say, "Thou preparest the table before me." Right? Yeah. Amen. You know, I was thinking about this past week. I was thinking about all the tables that God prepares for his people. I want to mention a few to you that I hope that you'll just chew on a little bit this week. Number one, there's the table of remembrance. We have a table of remembrance here. The Lord's table. The Lord's supper. It's a time that we come together and we remember. You know, I thought about this. There was even an enemy at that table. Wasn't there? Yes, Judas. But the Lord set the table. Aren't you glad that Jesus set the table?
Amen.
Amen. And we still get to commemorate that, the table of remembrance. And then there's this. There's not only the table of remembrance, there's the table of restoration. Remember when Peter had denied the Lord? Now, Jesus had told him he's going to deny him. He said, oh, no, not me. He said, now, listen, these guys over here, they might deny you, but, Lord, I would never do that. And Jesus said, oh, yeah. He said, yeah, you're going to do it. And he denied. He said, not only will you deny me once, you're going to deny me three times. And he did. He did. But do you remember what happened after that? Sure you do. Peter said, you know, there's probably no room for me at the table anymore. That table of communion, that table of fellowship. There's probably no room. I'm just going to go fishing. Now, maybe somebody in here is right at that place. You say, you know what? I've messed up, preacher, or I just don't feel like that there's a place for me at the table anymore. I'm just going to go on back. I'm going to go back to the Simon. I'm going to go back to the old me. And so Peter said, I go fishing. And you know, that's what many of the disciples did. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus, in his love and his grace and his mercy, went down to that Sea of Galilee. And he saw him out there toiling. And he called out to him and said, hey! He said, have you caught anything? They said, no. I think they were really upset. He said, well, how about throwing the net on the other side? Ah, all right. Yeah. We've toiled all night. And they threw it on the other side. You know what happened? You know what Jesus said? He said, come and dine. I've set a table for you. Well, Lord, we don't deserve to be at the table. No, we don't. We don't deserve to come to the table of remembrance. And we don't deserve to pull up to the table of restoration. But aren't you glad that God has a table of restoration?
Amen.
Am I talking to somebody this morning that needs to pull up to that table? Maybe you need to pull up to the table of remembrance. And you've just forgotten where you were when God found you. Hey, it can happen to us, brethren. That's why the Bible says when Jesus, when he went through this commemoration, he said, this do in remembrance of me. He knows we're forgetful people. And sometimes we can forget where God found us and what Jesus has done in our lives. But then there's the table of restoration where we've gotten out of kilter, we've gotten off track, and we've gotten away from God, and we've lost our peace, and we've lost our joy, and we've lost the thrill of it all. But I'm glad that the Savior is standing on the shore, and he's saying, come and dine. Come and dine. I've set a table before you. The fish and bread. Remember? John 21, I hope you'll read it sometimes if you haven't read it recently. It'll put a little charge in you. The Lord asked him, do you love me? Simon, thou son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Well, Lord, you know I love you, he says. Then he asked him again and then again, and Peter finally said, Lord, thou knowest all things. And I'm paraphrasing, he said, Lord, I love you, but I don't love you like I should. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Peter was broken, and God restored him. And he said, Peter, I still have something for you to do. Go feed my sheep. Amen. Go to work, Peter. Go to work for me. And maybe God has been speaking to somebody's heart at Fellowship Baptist Church or someone who joins us on our live stream. And he's been speaking to you, and he's been telling you, I have something yet for you to do. And you're saying, you're arguing with him. And you're saying, but Lord, I'm just not what I used to be. And I've fallen off a little bit. And I'm just not that gal anymore. I'm not that guy anymore. We're not that family anymore. And he's saying, come and dine. Come and dine. I want to reinitiate. I want to recommission you. I want to send you back to a job for you to do. How many of you are sitting here today that you were found in that place? You'd gone to fishing. You'd given up. You had turned your back. And Jesus called and said, come and dine. And now you're serving God again. Somebody say amen with me. Help me out. Amen. You know it so. You know it so. There's a table of restoration, brethren. And then the Bible says that one day there's going to be a table of rejoicing. In Revelation chapter 19. Oh, the marriage supper of the Lamb has come. Let us rejoice. He said, and be glad. Aren't you glad for that table? One day we're going to sit there. But you know what the Bible says right here? The Bible says right here there's a table of rest. There's a table of refreshment. I believe that's what this table is. You see, when you come through the valley of the shadow of death, there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of things triggered in our lives. There's a lot of hardship. There's a lot of sorrow when you go through that. And listen, you just can imagine, again, look at it in verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. you can just feel the darkness. You can just sense the presence of evil here. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you can just sense that there's apprehension on part of the sheep. He said, I will fear no evil. There's evil all around me, but I'm not going to fear God. I've got my eyes on you, shepherd. I have my eyes on you. And he said, for thou art with me. What a comfort to know. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then he says here, thou preparest a table before me. Thou preparest a table. The table of rest and refreshment. Some of you have just come through, or some right in the midst or on the backside of some very, very difficult things in your life. And God says, I want to refresh you. I want to rest you. I want to recharge you. I have something for you. I know in my own life there's been times I needed this right here. And so it's not going to be without problems. All right? It's not going to be without problems. This high land, this table land, it's not going to be without problems. Please don't think, well, you know what? When I get into the place of victory, there'll be no battles. The battle may intensify. Because if you'll notice in verse number four, he says, I will fear no evil. But that just means that maybe evil is lurking behind every corner. But verse number five says, when we've made it to the tableland, thou preparest a table before me, then I see the presence of the enemy. And so please don't think, well, you know what? When I get to a place of victory in my life, when I get to a place to where I've gotten through the trial, I've gotten over the hardship, I've worked through the sorrow, and now it's going to be all safe and sound and smooth sailing from here. Brethren, please hear me this morning. It doesn't always mean that. How many of you sitting here? Whether you did it yourself, and you have to be honest, okay? Now listen. Whether you did it yourself, you gave the world, you gave the enemy a reason to mock or to scorn. You gave the unbeliever, you gave the enemy a reason to point a finger and to say, you know what, he messed up, she messed up, they messed up. And they're laughing and they're saying, boy, some Christian you are. And your enemies are gathered around. And if you're not careful, what'll happen during that time, I've been guilty myself, is I'll pray and I'll say, God, get through. Listen, do away with these enemies. Get them out of my life. God, take care of my enemies. Remove my enemies. You know what God will say? I was taking a walk a couple of weeks back and I was meditating on this verse of Scripture. And I tell you, I begin to think about times in my life that I just wanted my enemies gone. You say, preacher, you have enemies? I don't know. Let me ask you, do you? Is there anyone in here that does not have enemies? Okay, one person. I want to be your enemy. No, there was nobody that raised their hand. I'm just kidding. We all have enemies. Whether you realize it or not, the devil's your enemy. He's like a roaring lion. And he's just seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says that our enemies are not necessarily flesh and blood, brethren, that we wrestle against, but they're principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. How many of you know what I'm talking about? They're spiritual enemies. Sometimes there's fleshly enemies. Sometimes it's my flesh. Sometimes it's the world. Sometimes it's the devil. We have enemies. And if we're not careful, what we'll be praying is we'll say, God, get rid of the enemy. But you know what God will say? No! No! I'm not going to get rid of the enemy. I'm going to do something for you better than that. I'm going to give them a front row seat. And I'm going to let them witness me take care of my sheep. Because you're my sheep. And I'm not going to change the purpose and the plan for my sheep because of the enemy. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to set the table for you in the presence of the enemies. Amen. And I'm going to let them watch me take care of you. Amen. I'm going to let them see that your God is God. Amen. I'm going to let them hunger and thirst for what you've got. I'm going to let them see that it's real, amen. It's real. How often have we gotten down and we said, God, I need a refuge. I need some strength. God, I'm asking you to take care of the enemy. And God doesn't remove them. He elevates our life. And he shows himself strong on our behalf. Amen. What a wonderful shepherd we have. And that is exactly what the 23rd Psalm is saying in verse number 5. He's saying, I've come through a hard time. I've come through the valley of the shadow of death. I was low and I was scared. He said, I just knew that there was evil, but I kept looking to you. What are you going to do, Lord? God said, I'm going to prepare a table. That's what I'm going to do. And you're going to eat good. Can I tell you, I've been saved for 44 years. I am still eating good, amen. You're looking at somebody that's eating good. I'm eating off the tableland. You say, preacher, you're bragging. I know I'm bragging. I'm bragging on Jesus, amen. I don't deserve the tableland. I'd still be feeding, listen, down in the old wilderness, eating that old dried, parched stuff in the desert land. But God's done taken me to the tableland, amen. And I'm feasting on the milk and honey. I'm telling you, brethren, I've been feasting on that manna, that honey bread, amen, that angel food. That's real stuff, brother. That's real. I hope you've gotten into that real stuff, that honey hole, where that manna comes down from heaven, where God will drop some quail down on you, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, listen, those folks out in the wilderness said, can God, I want you to turn over there. I've been meditating on this song. This has got me fired up. Psalm 78. Turn there if you would. Those children of Israel came out of Egypt's land. You know the story. God brought them out by the blood of the Passover lamb. God provided for them. He opened up the Red Sea. And they began to murmur and complain. God dropped some quail down on them. Fresh meat. God rained down some manna from heaven, had honey bread. If you'll read in Psalm 78, let me get there with you. I want you to notice what God calls it. I like this. Look over there if you would. In Psalm 78, God said it was angel food. If you'll notice in verse number 25, man did eat angels' food. How'd you like to get some of that, amen? You get some of that on the table, and things pick up in a hurry. God rained down some quail, rained down some manna with honey. And they said, well, we're thirsty. I want you to notice what God done for them. This is just wonderful stuff. Look at verse 15 of Psalm 78. He clave the rocks in the wilderness, brethren. Are you listening to me? In the wilderness, dry and barren and hard and toilsome, weary, worn. God said, I'm going to strike that rock and I'm going to give you the purest water you've ever drank in your life. Thank God for the water that comes from the spout, from the depths of God's rock. Amen. Verse 15, he said, he clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as of out of the great depths. You talking about some good fresh water. Woo! That's good stuff right there, brother. You get to drinking heaven's water, heaven-baked honey bread, angels' food, and eating that fresh meat. Boy, they would have never thought they was in the wilderness. But you know what they done? They done what I've done before. And they've done what you've done before. They forgot all this. Now, I'm going to close right here, but I want you to see this. After God had done everything that he'd done for these people, and we could start right here with these folks right here and just go around all the way around. And every one of us, if we would be truthful before the God of heaven, would say, God's been far better to me than I deserve. Oh, preacher, God has been so good to me. And so good to my family. But if we're not careful, here's what we'll be doing. I want you to watch it now. God had met their every need. The only reason they're in the wilderness is because when they got up to Kadesh Barnea, They sent them spies in. You know the story. And they came back. 10 of them did. And they said, well, there's giants in them there. Lands, and there's no way we're going to be able to do this. We can't do it. And they turned back. And they began to doubt God. Can I tell you that at Fellowship Baptist Church this morning, when I was thinking about this verse of Scripture, there's some good people sitting in this building. Now, I'm not saying you're all that. And I'm not saying I'm all that. But there's some good people in this building. There are. And as good as God has been to us, as good as God has been to us, you know what our greatest enemy could be? Unbelief. I believe I could take a poll here, and I wouldn't ask you to do it. I wouldn't do this. And I believe that probably 99% of the people say, I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. I don't drink. Don't curse. Don't chew. I'm faithful to my wife, my husband. I love my family. I own a Bible. I read it. I attend church. I mean, good people. I'm kind to people. I'm courteous. I like to give. I like to help people. I reach out to people. Good folks. Listen, that's the kind of people who attend this church. But you know the enemy that got these people? The sin of unbelief. Read it with me. Verse number 20. Let's look at verse number 18. And they tempted God. Who? Those people that God done all that for. Brought them out of Egypt. Took them across the Red Sea. Rained down quail on them. Manna from heaven. Water from the rock. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Watch this now. Verse 19. Yea, they speak against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? What unbelief. God already led them across the Red Sea. On dry land. That's right. Buried their enemies under the waves of the Red Sea. Rained down quail on them. What a miracle. In the desert. In the desert. God provided water. Fresh water. And yet they say, can God furnish? You see that word furnish, underline it. I want you to go home and look it up. You know what it means? Prepare. Thou preparest a table before me. It means thou furnish. And they're saying, can God furnish me a table in the wilderness? Can God meet my need in the hard time? Can God come through for me in this situation? See, this is what gets a lot of Christians right here. Please don't miss this. Please. These many years, 35 plus years I've been in pastoral ministry, it's not the drink that's got folks out of church. Listen to me now. It's not the drink, the smoke, the bars, the carousing. It's the sin of unbelief. It's people that will not take God at His word. It's people that say, well, I know God did it for them, but will He do it for me? Can He do it for me, preacher? And while the backslidden Christian and the world scoffs at God, the backslidden Christian doubts God and says, can God? We who believe the Bible says, God can. God can, amen. God can. Can I tell you, the psalmist went a step beyond that. He said, God has. God has. God will. He has prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Amen. I don't know what you're going through. I don't. But I know this. Everybody in here has enemies. The chief being the devil. All right? But now don't you become your enemy. Don't you become your enemy. Don't you allow your sin of unbelief to doubt God. Can God furnish a table? Can God get us across the street, preacher? Can God still save people in 2024? Can the church still have revival in 2024? Can God raise money to get missionaries to the mission field? Can God heal my sick family member? Can God save the town drunk? Can God get my son off of drugs? Can God set my family free? Can God do things that in my mind I cannot comprehend? I'm here to tell you that God can, amen. God can, amen. God can, amen. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Praise God, He can. And I don't ever want to be guilty of doubting Him. My God is God. There's none beside Him. There's none like Him. Never has been. Never shall be. God, help me to live up to my expectation. God, help me to live up to His character. God, help me to live up to who He is and not live down to who I am. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Is God setting the table for you? You get the picture? They're coming through the valley of the shadow of death. Remember now, when He leads them in the paths of righteousness in verse 3, that's straight paths. Yea, they will walk through those winding paths. I can't see what's around every corner, every turn, every bend. There's uncertainty. I want to trust You, Lord. I want to trust You. I'm uncertain. I don't know what's around this turn. I don't know what's around that valley of the shadow of death. I know there's evil, but God, I know that Thou art with me. I want to trust You. And then He gets to, or should I say, through the valley. And there's the tableland. And he sees that God has spread the table. That's what he said. Thou preparest the table before me. It's right there. I see it. Hey, can I tell you, don't turn now. Don't turn. Don't quit. Don't bend. Don't doubt. Right before you're able to partake of the tableland of God's blessing. Let's stand up if you would. This has been burning in my heart, burning in my soul. I'm here to tell you, I know I got, listen, I'm not apologizing. I just want you to know, this is not just some emotional thing with me. God burned this truth in my heart. This is real to me. This is real. It's not just some whim. It's not just some passing emotion. God reminded me again in the last couple of weeks, son, what I've done before, I'll do it again. And if you'll just watch real close, I'll do it again and then some. Amen? You listening? I'm capable to do it again and then some. In other words, I'll give you that fudge sundae, but I'm going to top it off with some whipped cream and a cherry. Amen. You said, preacher, I just don't know now. I've got a hard situation. Well, you've got two choices. Can God? God can. Can God furnish a table? Thou hast prepared a table. I pray that you would choose the latter. Know that God has your best interest in mind. Trust Him. Trust Him, dear child of God. Trust Him. Let's bow our heads together.